Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 528. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony. Did we lose Tony? Did Tony die?
I guess not joined by Tony.
Well, hopefully Tony rejoins us. Earl is here.
Well, you never know when I might appear.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Did you make a dramatic entrance?
Hiding under the desk.
Sure. Or I was accidentally muted and said something really cool and you never heard it.
Okay, so I'm going to say that you made a dramatic entrance.
Earl is here as well.
Howdy, I am here and I don't need to mute myself to say something cool.
Jeff, are you muted? Are you going to say something cool while muted? Yes.
I'm sorry, what? I was here the whole time, I swear.
Jeff is here. All right. Happy New Year. It is January 2nd.
Thank God 2020 is over. Worst year ever.
Yeah.
Fuck that year.
We are actually still in 2020 when we're recording this. We still have 13 more days of Nightmare Land, but
you're not anymore.
Yeah, you're out. You've gotten out. This is gonna be a shorter episode than normal, though. We're not sure what's going on in the world of games. We have not followed news for 2 weeks.
We know Sony's cyber. Delisted Cyberpunk at some point.
Right.
I was about to say, I'm sure Cyberpunk is doing amazing right now, and it turned it around. It's actually a phenomenal port now. So I'm just going to call it right now. They fixed Cyberpunk in 2 weeks over Christmas vacation. Boom. Solved.
Did I tell you guys my Cyberpunk saga, by the way?
No.
So somehow my order got stuck in Best Buy system as like a permanent delay. I can't cancel the order. They can't fix it in any way. They can't do anything with it. It's just stuck there.
So how do you
don't
get,
know how to fix
you don't,
it?
You don't get your game?
So I ended up, they're like, cancel the order. I can't cancel the order. I can't do anything to the order in their system. So I'm like, okay, Best Buy, screw you. I'm buying it a different way. So I went to the Microsoft store. I ended up using my rewards points to buy it for nothing because I had so many rewards points. And the day I bought it was the day that Sony delisted it on their store.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody pointed out tonight, and I did not even think about it. Like, how do you feel if you're Microsoft who, like set up the marketing deal with them, that you got such a dud of a game out of it? I mean, I guess that's always... But like, the fact that it's being delisted, the fact that it is the biggest margin, and this is so awkward now because this is going to be 3-4 weeks after this all goes down. But it's delisted, and then people are, it's such a reviews were initially for the PC version, which does really well, and then people are like, wait, no, this version's crap. So now you have stuff on Metacritic where it's like a 90 on PC, and then it's like 40s on the PlayStation and Xbox. So.
Such a weird saga. I have not played it. It is installed, but I am just thinking maybe I just delete it and wait till they give the upgraded versions.
That's kind of it. I'm just kind of leaving it there. I'm going to wait until they've done the work that they should have done to begin with.
I'm officially going to say I'm excited to play it from what I've heard of. No, for people who have been playing it, most people I don't think are experiencing some of the bad stuff as much.
Well, I think people playing on more advanced consoles are having experiences. People playing on the launch Xbox Ones or PS4s are not having fun with it.
And Jeff, you have a 1X.
Yeah, and I, from what I've seen, the 1X version actually looks like it runs fairly well. So I'm not too worried about it. I'm excited to play the game.
What I'm curious about, and this is what I've been asking, it's like, what was the game they were trying to sell in April and September of this year, then?
Right?
I don't know. It's been a fiasco all around, but I know a lot of people who have been enjoying it, so.
Well, the funny part is, this is the company that made The Witcher, The Witcher 2, The Witcher 3, three fantastic games. What happened?
I disagree.
Well, at least if you could disagree on the quality.
You can disagree, but
they're
a game that people could play and worked.
Yeah. I don't personally like them, but yeah, it's crazy in the
long term, though, it really also damages their reputation, which is really what they had going for them. I mean, it was part of the reason people were excited for Cyberpunk was because it was from a studio known for quality, and now you're gonna have to go with the wait and see approach, I imagine, for out of.
I agree, doggy.
Amen.
Yeah,
he's not a fan of Cyberpunk either.
Whose doggy is that?
Fine. Doggy.
Sounds like my doggy.
He's not happy, Earl.
No.
He heard Did
he pre-order Cyberpunk as well? I'm pretty sure that's
I only have a base Xbox One.
Get this shit out of here!
I am tempted to install it on my other Xbox, which it's the Halo Xbox, but it would be a base Xbox One. I just kind of want to see what it plays like on there. Like, is it a nightmare? Yeah, hopefully by the time this comes out, as Earl has predicted, it has been fixed. And Sony's selling it again.
Yeah.
But we're going to do a Hall of Fame today. We are going to finalize our 2020 entries into our Hall of Fame. Real quick, I will run down what we've previously selected this year, which was Mortal Kombat, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Ninja Gaiden, Sid Meier's Civilization, and Halo Combat Evolved. As per the rules we set in motion last year, none of the games that have franchises that were picked this year can have a duplicate selection in the second half picks. So these will be games from all new series or standalone games up to 2005. Up to the three, like basically the end of the PS2 era of games, not including the Xbox 360, PS3 games at this point. All right, Tony, you want to kick us off with your entry?
So I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I was like, what is the, like, I spent a lot of time playing multiplayer games, and I'm like, what is like the foundational multiplayer game for me? And I have to look back to my PC gaming days, like early on, and look back at Unreal Tournament. So Unreal Tournament was, I believe, the second game released in the Unreal Engine, but it was really a foundational experience for online gaming. It was one of the, like, the first games you could really get online and play against other people and really, really enjoy it. It had really cool weapons, had really, really good, really well-designed maps. It was a corridor shooter, so it played really fast. But it was a great experience to play with, like, cool stuff. Like, for example, there was a bomb in the game that you could, like, control and, like, use and, like, blow up half of the map. There were guns that fired razor blades, and like there were classic sniper rifles that would instantly blow everybody heads off, and it's one of those experiences where everybody can look back and remember, like, when you were starting to get streaks going, like the voice of the announcer, like shouting out like headshot and that kind of stuff. Like, that was one of the first games that did that, where it really, like, as you were starting to achieve things in the game, it would really announce it to everybody. It was really, really cool. So I think Unreal Tournament is definitely a game that we need to take a serious look at, because it's just one of those foundational games in terms of multiplayer and getting online and playing. It was one of the first games to have like true netcode behind it. Unreal, when it came out, had really bad netcode. People had trouble like playing with each other, and this game kind of threw all that out the window. Like, it was much easier to play with other people, so it kind of established that genre.
If I remember correctly, it's kind of funny because Unreal kind of follows the Quake model, where Quake 1 and 2 had single player campaigns, and so did Unreal 1 and 2. And then the third game in that series, I believe, was Unreal Tournament for Unreal, and it was Quake 3, were these multiplayer arena shooters. They might have had single player campaigns. I don't remember in either case, but the main draw was the arena death matches. And
So I think Unreal had a tournament, but it was basically like playing through
against
a
bots,
series
yeah.
of yeah multiplayer games against bots.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how Quake 3 was as well. So they kind of mirrored each other. I did not play Unreal Tournament on the PC. I played a version of it on the PS2, which was a ton of fun because it had split screen. I mean, you could get the PS2 online, but it was kind of, you had to have the modem in the back. And
yeah, it's complicated.
But I had a ton of fun playing Unreal Tournament on the PS2. It was a great old school style shooter.
My favorite map, there was a, I think it was called Face. So it was basically two towers, like, facing off against each other. And I would sit, I would play against bots, and I would sit in the one tower and just keep sniping them, like, for hours. It was so much fun to get the streak going up as high as you can. And it would start, like, the announcer would be like, overkill. And then he keeps saying it over and over again as I kept headshotting people. Overkill, overkill, overkill. It was so much fun.
Anybody else play Unreal?
I have.
You know I haven't.
Because you're against the computer.
Against me. It's not my fault.
This is the game that made it, like, it, until Halo, I was convinced, absolutely convinced, that all shooters should be played on a PC because of Unreal Tournament.
And there are still people who believe that, so...
Yep.
Here's the thing. I bought that Bruce Willis game for the PC back in the fucking dawn of the world. And what was that Bruce Willis game? You guys know what I'm talking about? Where you're like in hell.
Apocalypse? Does that sound correct?
What is it?
Bruce Willis Apocalypse? Does that sound
probably. And what's that? It is.
It's Apocalypse. Starring Bruce Willis.
Actually, now I think about it, wasn't it Dennis Hopper?
Well, now you're giving me different people to remember. Like, I remember weird shit. Like, but Dennis Hopper's not in there that I remember.
Anyways, it's one of those fucking early PC games. Would not work on my PC, and so I've avoided since. I think the only game I've ever really played on PC was Sims 2.
I mean, that's not a bad choice.
It's super great. Like, and I will admit, plays better on PC than console.
So do all the Sims games.
Sims in general?
Just in general. Like, yeah. Like, Sims 3 is great on Xbox. Like, it's totally fine.
It's playable. Game. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, just Sims feels better with a mouse.
All right. Well, actually, the 360 and PS3 had a good Unreal Tournament. I think it was Unreal Tournament 3.
Yep.
That was a good version of it as well. But we are inducting the original Unreal Tournament on PC into the Hall of Fame. Earl, what is your choice?
So I was kind of, I guess, on the same page as Tony in terms of, like, thinking of, like, multiplayer games to induct. I went in a slightly different direction, and I am kind of conflicted between which one I want to induct. One's a sentimental favorite, and I think one is the actual choice. But I wanted to induct Turtles in Time. We have any beat 'em ups, and I do think it's a genre that, especially of the, I would say, of the 8 and 16-bit generation, was one of the big defining genres of video games at the time. And Turtles in Time, both being an arcade, kind of like the culmination of, like, the licensed arcade ones. Because I think, like, you know, we had X-Men, we had Simpsons, we had all that other stuff. But Turtles in Time was one of the big ones, you know. It's, if you go to barcades, it's still one of the most popular ones. 4-player co-op machines that takes up a nice corner space. Ported to the Super Nintendo. We never, ever, ever talk about the Xbox 360 remastered version. You know, absolutely. just a really fun co-op game that I, you know, played with friends, two players at home, four players in the arcade. That was my pick. My mind says that the actual one I should nominate is Streets of Rage 2, which I feel like that's more of a defining beat 'em up game of that era.
I mean, it's up to you, Earl.
This is Earl's choice.
I'm good with either one of them.
Like I said, my sentimental pick is Ninja Turtles, partially because I'm a huge fanboy of them. But I also think it was one of those that really...
I think you should have went with Batman Returns, man.
What?
That's a fucking beat-em-up.
But what? You have to specify which Batman Returns, because that was in the era where the Super Nintendo and Genesis games were two different beats.
Super Nintendo, I think.
But I actually don't necessarily care for the Batman beat-em-ups of that era. Like, I also know people are big on like the Batman NES game, and I never really cared for that much either. But Turtles in Time, I think it gets the characters right.
Calls himself a Batman fan.
Yes,
I will say, if I have to think of a franchise that represents Earl more, I think Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
But I'm good.
And it's a great game. It's not like, oh, you're picking a Turtles game out of the hat. Like, it's still a great game. Like,
it is. A lot really of fun.
Did you say there was a port to the 360 or something?
We don't talk about that.
Wasn't it really bad? Like, the worst port ever?
As far as Microsoft...
Of Turtles in Time?
As far as Microsoft and Sony and everybody goes, it doesn't exist. You can literally go to any of those stores and it will not show up anywhere.
I don't remember the
good reason for that.
So there,
I don't remember the original arcade game coming out, not the Turtles in Time.
I know Earl just said we don't recall, we don't talk about it, but it was called Turtles in Time Reshelled.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. It's coming back to me.
It's been renamed since then. It's now named Turtles in Time Unshelled.
It wasn't like that. It wasn't... It wasn't like just a straight like port or whatever.
No, it was a remastered. It had new graphic styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it. Okay, that's what did I want to talk about? That. All right. So,
you are talking about the
original Turtles in Time, both the arcade and the Super Nintendo, because I think it's one of those games. I feel like. I don't think there's a better version. I think each of them bring their own strength. I like the four player co-op in the arcade version. I think the Super Nintendo one has better level designs, and it does a lot of the stuff better. Like, I prefer the Rat King boss fight, the Sewer King, I should say, boss fight in level 3 versus like just the pizza monsters that they have in the arcade game. And I like some of the futuristic stuff they add in the Super Nintendo version that's not in the arcade game. So like, it would be Turtles in Time straight across the board. Well, okay, those two versions. We're not going to count the port as my nominee. Yes, Turtles in Time, Arcade, Nintendo Edition are my nominees for the 2020 Hall of Fame.
All right. My nominee for 2020 Hall of Fame is the original Final Fantasy.
Ooh,
it's a series that I think we just got the announcement that they are making the 16th of these games to come out on PS5 at, you know, probably 7 years from now.
It's not the 16th though, right? It's like the 30th.
Yeah, it's because there's X2, which was or
15.7. 15-7. Yeah.
There's a lot, and then there's like lots of spin-offs, and but
I mean, 13 has 3 games on its own.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy is basically Square Enix, in a lot of ways. But going back to that original game that kind of like founded it, like Square was in a horrible place at the time. You know, if Final Fantasy did not hit, there's a good chance that Square doesn't exist anymore. But you know, they delivered pretty much the quintessential Japanese role playing game, which was very much modeled after D&D. Like it's one of the early ones where the story is whatever in it, but you can pick you pick the class that you want to play. So team composition is very important. And that depends on, like, the way you set your team up depends on how that game plays out. Like, you can make it really easy by going with, like, a couple fighters and a couple mages, or you can make it super difficult and go, you want to just go with four white mages throughout the whole thing, so all they have is healing spells, and you have to find a way to win that way. Like, there's tons of different ways to approach the game, and finishing it. And I think it is kind of like the defining, role playing game of that era that put turn-based RPGs kind of on the map for consoles, and brought them to America, at least, and the West, in a way that made them popular. And that series has continued through today. We're still getting them. We just got a remake of 7 this year.
Yeah.
Part,
well, not even all of 7.
Part of 7.
We got a remake of part of 7. Not even the whole first disc of 7. Just like the first 5 hours of it.
Yes, that's how they're going to get to 6. That's how they got to 16. Now we're getting like 3 parts of a remake of 1 game. So.
But this is all in one. This is one game all together. And I go back. I replay this game every year. I've gotten it to the point where I can beat it in under 20 hours now. I love it. I think it's great. So that is my nominee here.
I'm filing a motion to dismiss Final Fantasy.
Wow.
To dismiss it.
On
what grounds, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm totally kidding. I'm not into the series at all, but I do love that. Like, you're one of the only people I know that like the first one is the one. Like,
no, I actually agree with Chris. I think the first one is my favorite in the series.
What's the like the 16-bit one everyone loves? Is it 4?
6.
It's,
well, four,
six.
Four and
well,
six.
Yeah,
but...
4. Yeah.
4/6.
Numbers don't mean anything in Final Fantasy.
Well, so it will be 2 here. So Final Fantasy 2 is actually Final Fantasy 4, and then Final Fantasy 3 here, and when they were released on Super Nintendo, is actually Final Fantasy 6.
Is that the 2D one? Everyone likes the 6.
They're both 2D ones. It depends on who you talk to, because I think it's very split on whether they like 6. It has a great villain. 6 has Kefka, but people also like 4 because they love the characters there. But yeah, both of those are very beloved in terms.
And
of...
I played one of them. I played one of them for a couple hours. I played through, what was it 15 that we gave it Game of the Year to?
Yeah, 15.
I hope you played through that for more than a couple hours, because we gave it Game of the Year on your recommendation.
My recommendation? You blame this on me?
It wasn't me. I barely played that game.
It was fucking Pete.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Damn it, Pete.
I did not. I went along. I was like, yeah, I like what I'm playing so far.
I think it was just. I think it was mostly a weak year.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest problem. Yeah.
But so that is my that's my pick, Jeff. What do you have here?
So. Mine is also been released on multiple platforms. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. It's called NBA Jam.
Ooh.
Oh.
Released in 1993. I think in that year it might have been arcade, and then followed by like Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Just before you go on, just for clarity's sake, quick NBA Jam.
The one, I mean, I'm giving it to like the original release, so I guess it would be arcade.
Okay. Oh no, because like there's Tournament Edition, which I think is the
I'm going with. I mean, Tournament Edition is just like a refined version of it, but whatever. Yeah, like I'm going with NBA Jam. Like for me personally, like my personal NBA Jam is NBA Jam on Super Nintendo. Like the original NBA Jam on Super Nintendo, I played for the entire life of Super Nintendo. Like as soon as I got it, I played it till the end of that.
And that was the one like you just pick your two guys. There's no substitutions, just them. You go at it.
Yeah, I think so. That's I think so. Played a ton of, like, I would say, like, if you asked me, like, back in the day, like, when I was a kid, like, for whatever reason, like, on NES, I must have owned, like, 30 to 40 games at least. I sold them all to get my Super Nintendo, and I think on Super Nintendo, I might have owned, like, 6 or 7 games. And NBA Jam was one of them, and I think between NBA Jam and Link to the Past was, like, which one, like, the ones that got the most play. It's just, I don't know, NBA Jam kind of, like, popularized, like, or, like, really solidified, like, a certain type of, like, arcade style of sports, you know? It was a huge cultural hit, phenomenon. And, yeah, like, it kind of, like, popularized a type of arcade sports game that it's still around today, I guess. But for a while,
yes, it was a fantastic period of time.
For a while, it was like the dominant type of sports game, and I love that type of sports game. I think NBA Jam is like the best version of that. And when the original version of NBA Jam came out, it was like, we're doing digitized characters, which, you know, it was like groundbreaking technology. It looked great at the time. The kind of silliness and the personality of it, all the secrets and like the different characters and heads and whatever you can unlock, big like head. Giant heads, yeah. Have Bill Clinton in it, like all that stuff kind of added to like the mythology of it, like the, you know what I mean, like this is a game that like, people talked about and like, you know, you could do that, codes you can enter. I don't know, man. I think that NBA Jam easily earns a spot on our Hall of Fame. Yeah,
totally.
Waiting for last because I was like, I was hoping someone would get to it before me.
Why? You're trying to manipulate us again, aren't you, Jeff?
Yeah, well, right. So I can use
Tony for Mario 3. I can get this happen again.
Yeah, I love that era of Midway arcade games where, you know, NBA Jam, NFL Blitz.
He's on fire.
Running the backboards, all that. Like I forgot to mention that. But like,
come on, just running around like beating people up. Like I'm throwing you on the ground, taking the ball, dunking. Eat it.
The only thing that came close to that for me, honestly, is like maybe NHL Hits in like, you know, the first one or two of those. I don't know. Like I think NBA Jam was like kind of the best of that.
It is. I think. Like I love Blitz. But NBA Jam is so much simpler, right? Like, it's just you pick your two guys, and then you're just trying to get the ball in the basket. Whereas, like, you know, you play Blitz, and, like, you have to pick plays. And like, there's not it's not super complicated, the amount of plays that there are. But, like, the fact that there are, like, 9 to 12 different plays that you could pick at any one time makes it a little more complicated. And it's not quite as pick up and play as NBA Jam, where it's just – go play. Like, you're just trying to get the ball in the net, and then your guy gets on fire.
It was also, I was surprised that the revival did not take as much as I thought it would. And I think part of it was one of those things where it's, if I'm not mistaken, the revival was like 50, 60 bucks. And as much as I think it's like a good game, like 15, 20 bucks on like a digital storefront.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing, is like, I was just looking it up just now because I play On Fire Edition for 360. Like, you could play that on Xbox One. I looked up, that's from 2011. That's the last one.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of a remake of like the Wii one, which is from a couple of years before that. So like,
it was just the year before,
all right, so then it would be 2010. It's 10 years since we've had NBA Jam. And I think they did a good job, like, especially On Fire Edition, like, it played just how fucking you would want. Like, I would love to see a new one, like.
Have you played, what is it called? Is it Hoop? Or the streetball digital game that's out now. I forget what it's called. There's like
I don't know.
The NBA
sure.
2K one.
Is that what it is?
It's I believe it's an NBA 2K game. But it's like more playgrounds.
Yes, there we go.
I have not played that. I heard it's really microtransaction heavy.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
If it's like the Battlegrounds from the WWE game, that is awesome. Like, it's not, it's very like grindy, I guess, is what they tend to be. Yeah, same company too, Saber Interactive. So yeah, but yeah, I was going to say, because for a period of time, the NBA Jam games were replaced by Street. And I thought those were really good. Wow.
The NBA Street games were great, yeah.
I never played the NBA ones for whatever reason, but
really?
NFL Street I loved.
Jeff, I think you'd really like the NBA Street games by EA.
Yeah.
One and two in particular are great.
And one of them was like on GameCube with like Mario characters and shit.
Yeah, that was great. It was Volume 3.
Yeah.
It also, I mean, it's a very, very kind of period in time. But that was like really at the boom of like the and one mixtape era of basketball.
Yeah.
Like and that was what they kind of mimicked. And I guess it was kind of like that era of like Dad and Extreme Sports, which are like, I assume they're still around, but they're not as popular, which is why I imagine they stopped making them. But I really wish, especially since, let's be honest, EA has shit the bed with the NBA license for years now, that they did more with like the arcadey aspects of those games, because I do think, I mean, I guess, you know, it's hard to say, you get Madden and FIFA and all those other games that are some of the best-selling games every year, and be like, there's a market for arcade games, but there are people who wouldn't do that stuff.
I mean, EA has done such a bad job of building an actual basketball simulation that they should probably focus on the arcade version.
If you did a really solid NBA Jam nowadays, it would be a huge hit, dude.
It would.
Think of Tony Hawk, how they redid that. Just redo it with like awesome graphics and make it play right and online. $20.
It's gonna be NBA, huge. The NBA is huge right now, and NBA 2K has built like they have a really good model, but I don't think the game is awesome. In fact, the last couple of versions have not been great. So I think there's a lot of room in there to compete, and maybe if you lean towards the more arcadey version, you would be able to fit into that market really easily.
What's crazy to me, especially on the EA side, is that for NHL, you know, that arcade game is in their base game. It's called Threes. You can play with mascots, and like it's very arcadey. It's super fast. It plays like an arcade game. They could throw something like that into their base NBA game if they could ever get it out, where it's just like this fun, super fast, you know, oversized players doing like crazy things, and just to make it fun, like just to have like a mode in the game that gets people playing. But they can't even get a regular NBA game out. that's a great choice, Jeff.
Hell yeah, it is.
All right, so we have another slot here, and because I can't tell time in the way that I, you know,
that normal people tell time.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well,
and the fact that we are recording this like 3 weeks early from when it's going to go up, I just forgot to put out a call to get suggestions from listeners on the fifth slot. So we're going to pick one to fill that fifth and final slot for 2020.
Fight.
So what do you guys have? Like anything that jumps out? When we recorded the first half of this back in June, Earl kind of said that there are games that just like belong in the Hall of Fame, and you know, Halo was one of those that kind of came up just like, you know, it just needs to be in there.
Yeah.
And we don't really need to talk about it like in general, but what are some games that you think just belong that we have not? We've, you know, this is now, we have 19 games inducted.
Okay. Do we have the original Tetris?
Yes.
In the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
We do.
I'm going to throw it out there. It's one that I think will be on here. I don't think anybody wants to nominate it. GoldenEye?
Okay.
Okay. This was actually, this game was in my brain before I picked Unreal Tournament.
This game was in my brain, but only because I had a different game selected.
Now, I was like, I don't think like GoldenEye is like the best, probably not even the best Bond shooter of its era.
Not.
But it's one of those games that everybody played, everybody loved. Like, it was a defining game for the N64.
Jeff, what was the other game that was in your head?
So the game I was originally thinking of doing before I picked NBA Jam was Perfect Dark, dude. Like, I'm sorry, I love Perfect Dark. I think it's amazing. Like, I think it's still great.
And I don't disagree with that, but I feel like if we're gonna, GoldenEye feels like the one, like Perfect Dark, I feel like you can have a discussion around that. GoldenEye just feels like one that should be there eventually. I just feel like it's gonna be like one of those games that gets pushed aside more and more. But like, it is the landmark, like, oh, this is what first person shooters on the console can be.
Yep.
Granted, 25 years later, it's not. But it was like the one that proved, like, oh, it's not just a PC genre.
I think I'm actually quite okay with GoldenEye filling this slot, and I think Perfect Dark has a good shot in the near future, in the next 2 years, to find a slot in our Hall of Fame due to a revival of that series coming. So it's gonna be in people's heads. Right, I mean, like, it could very well turn out that game sucks, and we all hate Perfect Dark after. We don't want to talk about it anymore, but...
I think that, like, Perfect Dark gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, like, just because it's the, like, GoldenEye was the one, and I totally respect, like, if we're gonna be like, let's put GoldenEye in first, obviously, that makes sense. But, like... Perfect Dark was a huge upgrade of GoldenEye, but it also, like, Perfect Dark was one of those games that came out at super end of the generation. Like, it was like, I think it came out in the year 2000, something like that.
Yeah.
And fucking, it's just like, people were already moving on from the N64 at that point, but goddamn, dude, it was like, it was GoldenEye, but, like, so refined in terms of just, like, more weapons. It looked better. Like, you had to have an expansion pack to, like, make it look good.
Well, that was... You needed the expansion pack to make it even run well enough to play. And, like, even then, like, it was rough, like, at points. Yeah. I agree with you. I think, like, single player, I love the GoldenEye campaign. But I think, you know, Perfect Dark being new, fresh, and original was something different and more fun. But yeah, I think that you're right. Like, at the end of that generation, people kind of forgot about it. And
yeah,
it's probably just you and me playing it.
But it just had some more wild shit. Like, it had, like, that laptop gun that you could throw out, and it would just fucking, like, act as a turret that fucking killed shit for you. And, like, I just remember I was a freshman in college in the year 2000. And that was like we didn't play GoldenEye, we played that. We played Perfect Dark, and we played The World Is Not Enough.
Another underrated Bond game from that era.
We played the rockets on the snow level, like rocket launchers on the snow level, and like we were obsessed with that. Like, honestly, like, I have fonder memories of World Is Not Enough than GoldenEye. I'm weird like that. Like, GoldenEye is just like, yeah, like I give it props and respect or whatever, but it's not as high up as a lot of other Bond games.
But you see, you're kind of making my point for me as well in a weird way, in that I feel like GoldenEye is a game that deserves to be on there, but it may not be a game that anybody's going to nominate, because, like, yes, The World Is Not Enough is a better Bond game, and everybody knows I love everything. I think much more than,
like,
either.
I think you and I might agree on that, but you know, GoldenEye is like the right pick if you're gonna.
Yeah, I feel like GoldenEye is like one that's eventually going to be on.
Well, right,
it's not going to be one that we're ever going to champion. Like, that's going to be my pick. It just feels like it has to be on there.
And just to note, GoldenEye has come up, you know, when I haven't sucked and actually put out calls to listeners, it's come up all three times. as an option. I'm perfectly fine with putting GoldenEye there and then relitigating, Perfect Dark or The World Is Not Enough. I mean, Jeff, I think between the two of us, there's definitely a chance that Perfect Dark ends up on in our Hall of Fame at some point.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And, I mean, it won't be for next time because I don't think we can nominate it after GoldenEye. But, yes, I guess Everything or Nothing does actually fall in that time window as well. So that is also another game.
We're
going to have all the Bond games. Like, fucking 6 years from now, I'll be like, dude, Nightfire, man. I don't know. Nightfire
was good. So just to note that the next time we do this, it'll be for 2021. So all series are again opened up. So if you want to bring another Bond game, I don't think we will bring one so quickly, but if you want to bring another Bond game next time, we can. And was that officially 007 GoldenEye, or was it just
what GoldenEye? What is it called? GoldenEye 007? It's GoldenEye 007.
GoldenEye 007. All right. So there we go. Those are our five picks for the second half of 2020 Unreal Tournament, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, Final Fantasy, NBA Jam, and GoldenEye 007.
What a fucking lineup.
That's a good lineup right there.
Jesus Christ.
These are I am very happy with our Hall of Fame so far.
That's like first round picks right there, dude.
Which is funny because they're all second round picks.
Yeah.
I think we have some great games that have made it into this Hall of Fame. So we'll be doing this again next year.
I guess technically this year.
We'll be doing it twice more this year, but for 2021's class of the Hall of Fame. I'm going to mix things up. It's the first podcast of the year, or last for us for this year. Earl, sing us out.
It's either a Merry Christmas or a Happy New Year. I don't know time anymore. But good night.